thankful for all God has done for me and for us. And I believe the best is yet to come. And ain't nothing you're going to do for God, whether it's be start a church or serve the Lord or preach or whatever you do, ain't none of it comes without cost. If it was easy, everybody do it. Everybody do it if it's easy. But it's hard, and I said at Sunday school, it is hard at times, but it is never, it's never too much for the Lord. And sometimes it gets a little too heavy for us, but it ain't for Him. Amen? And so I'm glad He's with us this morning to help us bear our burdens and our crosses. And I praise the Lord. Listen, folks, we've got a choice to make. You know, everybody here this morning is going to decide every day who it is that you're going to serve. And it is impossible to serve God and anything or anybody else. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so I'm glad that I made a choice as a young man to serve the Lord. And I sure wish that I had done things differently in my teenage years. I wished I would not have put the scars and the sin and the burdens on my life and my testimony. But ain't you glad that God forgives? And not only does He forgive, He forgets. Praise the Lord for that. And we're serving a good God this morning. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 12 this morning. We'll read a few verses and then we will preach what the Lord's put in our heart. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. Now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you. Now, I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before His anointed. Whose ox have I taken, and whose ass have I taken, and whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. In other words, Samuel said, find some way I've gypped somebody or robbed somebody or took advantage of somebody, and I'm all squared away. Verse number 4, and they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and His anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteousness, of all the righteous acts of the Lord which He did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgat the Lord their God, He sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, in the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, pay attention now, nay, but a king shall reign over us. But when the Lord your God over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. Now pay attention. if you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, ye shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. For sake of time, that's all we'll read this morning. I want us to look at this chapter and go back just a little bit. We'll do that in introduction and lay some groundwork. But I want us to see this morning that the children of Israel have been faced with a decision. They have had a choice to make, and it's been this. The Bible up to this point lets us know that Israel did not have a king as all the other nations did, a physical king on a physical throne, but instead God was their king. And can I say, I believe God's probably pretty good at being king. But Israel looks out on all these other nations and sees that there's other people and other places that have a king. And so they desire to have a king. But with that king, there comes some consequence and some prize. And so this morning, I want to look at the nation of Israel and what the prophet Samuel has told us here. And if I could this morning, I want to preach on this thought: which king will you crown? Which king will you crown? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that it is, God, to stand and preach the blessed word of God. Now, Lord, I need your help this morning. Lord, I need power and unction. God, I need, Lord, that touch from heaven. Lord, I can't preach on my own. And so, Lord, if you'd help me this morning, I'd surely thank you for it. God, may the word of God go forth and, Lord, lodge in the hearts of your people. And, God, may our hearts turn towards you this morning, Lord. If there be one lost, I pray that they'd get saved today. Lord, if there be one here that's not right with you, but God, they're saved, but out of fellowship, Lord, I pray that the prodigal would come home. Lord, help the word of God go forth this morning, Lord, and change your people for the good. We'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name and for his lovely sake. And all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Briefly, if I could, by way of introduction, I want you to understand, as I've already said, that up to this point, the nation of Israel did not have a physical king. There was no man in charge. There was no ruler. There was no reigner outside of the God of the Bible. May I say this morning that it is here where we find the Bible lets us know that the people have called for a king. And if you were to go back in chapter number 11 and read down through some of that, you'll find that they have called for a man by the name of Saul to be their king. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar this morning to know that Saul was the king's choice, Saul was the people's choice to be king, but God had a choice some years later, and his name would be David. Can I say there's a great book written on this idea? It's written on the tale of three kings. If you've ever read that, it's a wonderful book, and it speaks about the kingship of Saul, the kingship of David, and the kingship of Absalom, David's son. Can I say those first and the last, the before and the after king of David, my friend, you're never going to find the favor of God. You know, Saul was not supposed to be king, but the people wanted him there, and in essence, Saul really exalted himself. They reached a place in chapter number 11 where, and chapter number 12, where they realized that, boy, we've messed up, but it was too late. He was already king, and he was already in charge of their lives. He was already ruling and reigning over them, and there was absolutely nothing they could do about it. Can I say, along the journey, the Bible sends this same prophet to the house of Jesse, and he's seeking out a king. Samuel goes and said, God sent me to here to the house of Jesse, said there's a king here. I'd like to meet him. I'd like to know who he is, and let's pray about this thing and prepare prepare for God's way and God's order of kingship. We know the story. The Bible said Jesse brought in all his sons. They're great men of valor and strength and men of war and tall, dark, and handsome. I mean, if anybody looked like leaders, if anybody had a house full of boys that looked like kings, it was Jesse. And sure enough, he went through all of them, and God never did give Samuel the green light. And he said, Jesse, you got any other boys? He said, as a matter of fact, I've got one more, just one. He said, well, I'm going to tell you something, preacher man. He said, he's around the litter. He's just a little old small ruddy boy. He's a shepherd boy, stinks like sheep, but he listens to me. He's a good boy, but he just ain't much. And he said, well, I need you to send for him. And so we know the story. The Bible said Jesse called. Here come David, be bopping through the sheep fields and the pastures, and he walks in, and God says, Samuel, that's the one. That's a man after God's own heart. That's the one that'll sit and rise and rule and reign. That's the young lad that's going to establish his kingship. And in that 1,000-year millennial reign, I'll sit on his throne. That's the one. That's the one. Well, can I say this morning, here in our text, we are seeing what has taken place prior to God having his way and his will in the kingship of Israel. Here they had just crowned a king by the name of Saul. Saul is a wicked man. Saul is a jealous man. Saul is a man of anger and wrath and fury and violence and murder and wickedness and abomination. I mean, Saul is the people's choice. But my friend, I've come to say this morning that you and I have been given a choice. God has never forced himself on nobody. Can I say this morning, there are two kings in this present world that we live in. You will crown one of the two as the king of your life. I don't care what the Calvinists say. God's given every man a choice. He's never predestinated nobody to salvation, but rather he has taken those who have chose him and predestinated them to the image of his only begotten son. Listen to me this morning, we are all in a predicament to where we will crown a king in our lives. We understand the Lord Jesus ought to be crowned king. Matter of fact, the Bible said he is the king of all kings. Somebody ought to say amen. There ain't nobody like him this morning. There's no king on the planet. There's no king in times past. There's no king in time present. And there's no king in time future that will ever overthrow or overcome the Lord Jesus. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And so we know that God ought to be our king. But then there is a little g God, and he is called the God of this world. Can I say the devil is a king? He's a king over darkness. He is the king over sin. He's the king over wickedness. He's the king of rebellion. He's the king of this world. I thought God was the ruler of this world. God was the creator of this world. But when sin entered into this world and the devil was kicked out of heaven and came into the garden. Listen, I've got a whole nother study. It's a study on why the devil was even here. My friend, the earth was his dominion. When God threw him out of heaven, he ruled and reigned on the earth. He was the king of the earth, and he still is because of sin and condemnation and wrath and judgment of God. But can I say this morning, there's only one of these two kings that will ever make it to the final victory, friend. One of these days, you know the Bible, you know what it says. The Bible said, at that great white throne judgment, that not only is God going to pull all the dead and those in hell and judge them and throw them into a lake of fire, but the Bible said in that day that God is going to bind Lucifer himself and cast him into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever, and this is the second death. Now here's what I've come to tell you tonight, or this morning. I've never wanted to be on on the losing team. I've never wanted to go down in defeat. I'm a very competitive fella. And if I had a choice, if I was you this morning, I don't know, I believe everybody would probably pick the winning team. I've come to remind us this morning, don't look so down. We are on the winning side. My friend, we're just, victory, complete and total victory is just around the corner. At one of these days, this whole world is going to fade away and pass away. And my friend, there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more struggles. There'll be no more unfaithfulness. There'll be no more temptation. There'll be no more wickedness. And glory be to God, there'll be no more devil in that day. I'm glad to report to you, if you're a child of God, you're on the winning side this morning. But here's what I've come to say now. You can be on the winning side and be bought by the King and still not serve Him. You know what's sad is, it's the King of Kings that's redeemed us. It's the King of Kings that has washed us white as snow. It's the King of Kings that's put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the King of Kings that's allowed us to miss out on hell. It's the King of Kings that's given us every good and perfect gift. It all comes from above. It's the King this morning that's blessed you and been faithful to you. But here's what's sad. In spite of how faithful He's been, we're living in a day and hour for those who He has bought are living their lives being unfaithful to Him. Right. Can I say, He has bought you, you're His. Yes. But you can still crown the wrong king. Right. What's the Bible say we're doing down here? Bible said not to worry about tomorrow. Bible said to not focus on things of this world, but set your affections on things above. The Bible said that there's coming a day at that judgment seat of Christ, and our works, both good and bad, will be judged by fire, be tried by fire, whether it be wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. And from that fire, and from that purging, whatever we have done that remains will be rewarded. And what do we do with those crowns that we'll earn? We cast them to the King. By the way, only a king wears the crown. Can I get a witness? And so you ought to crown the King with your life. You ought to crown the King with your heart and with your service and with your mind, with your attitude. You ought to crown the King with your home. Can I get a little help this morning? You ought to crown the King, glory to God. I'll say it right one of these times. You ought to crown the King with your entire being, who you are. You ought to give Him everything and crown Him as King. But there's only one throne in your life. There's only one King that can sit. Did you know? I know this is going to be a shell shocker. Did you know that the Lord's not going to share a throne with the devil? And He's not going to share a throne with you. And if you have served you have crowned the devil king. If you listen to me this morning, don't die on me, help me. If you live your life in the flesh, you have crowned the devil as your king. God is looking for total surrender. Complete and total surrender. And if you're not careful, you'll be blood bought. Purchase royal blood running through your veins. You're a child of the King. You're a royal descendant. But you'll waste your life down here by crowning the wrong king. So if I could, I want to look at a few things this morning. Israel had a king. It was the Lord. But he wasn't good enough. He didn't fit the bill. They wanted to be like everybody else. And so they sought him out, a man by the name of Saul. And so I want to look at this. They had a choice to make and they crowned the wrong king. So first of all, this morning I want us to see this. When looking at this thought, which king will you crown? I want you to see, number one, I've already mentioned a little bit, but number one, there is a choice. There is a choice. In verse number one, read it with me. The Bible said, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me and have made a king over you. Samuel's tried to tell them God's been doing a pretty good job, but y'all, it was their voice. Now look down in verse number 12. The Bible said this, and when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold, the king whom ye have what? You have chosen, and whom you have no... What's it say? You've not only chosen a king, but you've desired the wrong king. Yeah. Now listen to me, folks. You've got a choice to make. Right. You know, tomorrow morning, you're going to have to crown a king. Yes, right. Leave church. While you're sitting here right now, you're going to have to crown a king. Amen. You know what amazes me is there's everything in the world out there that can captivate people's attention. But you, I mean, you about cannot hold people's attention 1 minute over 30 minutes, hardly in this day and age. When you're in church, you can't. People yawn and are tormented to sit in a church house. But that world gets almost every waking moment of our time. What's the issue? Crown the wrong king. We will absolutely devote and dedicate ourselves to everything and everybody. But when you start preaching on total surrender to the king, people think you're crazy. Why? Because they've already crowned their king. My friend, they wanted this king. They wanted Saul. It was their choice. They desired to have King Saul. Samuel says, y'all had a king. It was the Lord your God. But ye have chosen a king. Ye have desired a king. There is a choice. Let me ask you something this morning. Why? Why, as a child of God, and you can preach this thing to the lost. I ain't preaching to the lost. As a child of God, why would you turn away from the king that has done all good things and all holy things and all righteous things? Why would you turn and walk away from the king to crown a king? Did you notice my choice of words? Why would you turn from the king and crown a king? There's a difference of being a king and the king. Amen. He's the king of kings. But people, every single day, I mean, we are in those last days where the Bible said that men would be lovers of pleasures and lovers of self and lovers of things more than they're lovers of God. My Lord, we're there, and it's discouraging and it's hard. But friend, it's just the way it's got to be in the last days. The Laodicean church, my friend, will grow lukewarm, and my friend, will be spewed out of the mouth of God. But it don't have to be that way here. It don't have to be that way in London, friend. It don't have to be that way at the Stillwater Baptist Church. My God, somebody needs to look at your life and realize there's only one reason you're not burning in hell. There's only one reason your family's together. There's only one reason you're not drunk. There's only one reason you're not on dope. There's only one reason you ain't dead or divorced. And it's because the king came to town. And he worked in your life. And he saved you and established you. And he's helped you. Praise God for the king this morning. You've got a choice to make. Which king will you crown? Number two, second of all, when looking at this thought, which king will you crown? I want you to see that there will be consequences. You've got a choice. And whatever you choose will be followed by consequence. Look in verse 2. The Bible said, and now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Look down to verse 13. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen, whom you have desired. Behold, the Lord has set a king over you. Now look in verse 14, 15. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. You better know something this morning. Whichever choice you make comes with consequences. If you choose right, then you will reap right. But if you choose wrong, you will reap wrong. If you sow in the seeds and you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. I'm telling you, there are consequences when people crown the wrong king. And I say this morning, there's several people that are saved as John the Baptist, but they crowned the wrong king. And in verse 2, Samuel makes mention. He said, look here, I've been with y'all since I was a boy, and now I'm gray-headed, and now my sons are with you. In other words, look at here, God has been our king all this time, and I'm old and gray-headed, my mind's made up, he's good enough. But I'm going to tell you some that may suffer up from the nation of Israel, crown the wrong king. That's my boys. Up down in verse 13, 14, and 15, he said, after that choice you make, there's going to be consequences. If you'll serve the Lord, in verse 14, obey his voice and not rebel, the Bible said, then you and even your fleshly, earthly king can follow God. But if not, friend, if you will not make the right choice, if you do not crown the right king, my friend, the hand of the Lord shall be against you. And I say this, people don't preach it very often. Everybody preaches if you do good by the Lord, there's prosperity. And really, that's Old Testament, if you want to get technical about it. I think God does bless his people, but that's not the sign that you're right with God. Matter of fact, that lukewarm Laodicean church, you know what they said? Many of those churches, there's some over in Revelation you'll read about when John's writing the letter from Patmos. It said they were rich and increased with goods, but didn't have nothing. So prosperity is not the blessing, the favor of God in the New Testament as it was the Old Testament. They got cattle and land and houses. In the New Testament, the blessing of God, suffering. Because that's what Jesus had to do to redeem us, is suffer. And so if you're a child of God, they persecute him, they'll persecute you. They hated him, they'll hate you. They rebelled on him, they'll rebel against you. They talked about him, they're going to talk about you. That's the sign, that's the blessing of being a Christian in the New Testament. But he says here, with those choices come consequences. Whichever king you crown, you will reap the consequence thereof. Can I say this? There's some people that cannot figure out why everything in their life goes wrong. And it's verse 15. If you will not obey the voice of the Lord, you seeing it? But rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you. Everybody preaches, Brother Chris, on how the hand of God can exalt you, and it can. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Listen to me now. You crown the wrong king, that same hand that would have exalted you will be against you. Right. Not popular preaching, but did you know sinners are the enemy of God? Right. That's in your King James Bible. Before you were saved, you were an enemy. Well, God loves everybody. Hold on. You're right. He does. So much that Jesus Christ was sent from heaven to die a horrible death. So he does love the whole world. And he showed that to us through the sacrifice of his son. You know how he loves after Calvary? Through his son. You know why God loves me? Because I've been bought by the blood of his son. It's not because of anything I have to offer. It's not because of who I am. It's not because I put on a suit, shine my shoes, and come to church. It's because the blood of the king has been poured over my life. He loves me through Jesus this morning. As a matter of fact, he don't even see me. He don't know the me you know. As a matter of fact, he said this. He looks at me and sees his only son. Because if he seen me in this old flesh and who I was in this old flesh, he couldn't love me. I'm wicked. I'm ungodly. I'm unrighteous in this flesh. But what you see is just on the outside. If you could see the inside instead, here's what you'd find. That there's a brand new man and the old man is dead. Hallelujah. Because I've been bought by the King. What's your consequences of serving Jesus? Okay, I can tell you. Blessing, favor, mercy, grace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness. I mean, you name it, He's given it. My friend, forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, every time I go to Him and confess my sin, He's faithful and just forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm proud that He's my King this morning. But I can show you what sin will do. I can show you what crowning the wrong king will do to somebody. Just be honest. Had I taken some of the same roads and stayed on them, I wouldn't be here this morning. I may be laid up in the hospital this morning. Had I not said, all right, I've crowned the wrong king long enough. Amen. Hey, I need somebody to help me this morning. Hey, is anybody glad that God has given us a choice? You say, my life's going to pot. I know the hand of God's against me. I'm cursed. What do I do? Crown Him as King. You've got to quit serving self and serve the Lord. And He'll remove that hand of curse, if you will. He'll remove that hand against you, and that same hand will then esteem you, exalt you, protect you, provide for you. There will be consequences. Third of all, when looking at this thought, which king will you crown? I want you to see that there are things you must consider. There are things you're going to have to consider about this. You will crown a king every day of your life. Which one will you crown? And here's some things worth considering. Look in verse 3. The Bible said, behold, here I am, witness against me. I ain't going to read all that. I've done told you. Saul makes a claim. He says this, or makes a statement. He said, I want you to look. God's given, you know, Samuel was a judge in the nation of Israel. Okay? And he said, here's what, y'all calling for Saul. I think it's been working out pretty good with God being our king and me being a judge under the king. And he said, am I the problem? Can anybody find one fault? Do I owe anybody money? Have I gypped anybody? Have I robbed anybody? Have I ripped anybody off? No, there's no fault. We can't find nothing wrong with you. But we still want a king. We want Saul. We want a fiscal king like the other nation. So he gives them something to consider, okay? So I've not done you any harm or hurt, no. Now look in verse number 12. He said, when you saw that Nahash, king of children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Does everybody see that? Now, go over to verse 16. Here it is. There's some things to consider. Samuel's pleading with him, saying, all right. Now look, I understand what you've called for and what you've done, but think about something. Think about this. There are things you must consider. Verse 16. Now therefore stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? Is today not day of wheat harvest? Yeah, it is. He says, I will call unto the Lord, and He shall send thunder and rain. Day just like we're living in right now. This is the kind of day that He's going to get. That ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, and asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Now, jump on down with me again. Actually, jump backwards with me. There are some things you must consider. Verse number 7. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord. There's some things to consider. He's wanting to reason with them. Of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which He did to you and to your fathers. Does everybody see that? Does everybody understand that Samuel's saying, look, there's some things worth considering here. Have I done you wrong? No. God's always been our king. I've been your judge. God has done righteous acts to you and your forefathers. Verse 8, when Jacob was coming to Egypt, your fathers crying to the Lord. Then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord, their God, he sold them in the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, in the hand of Philistines, and in the hand of King Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried to the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtoreth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out. And he goes on through the prophet. He said, look back for just a moment. God's been good to you. He's delivered you. He's been good to your forefathers and their forefathers. God's always give you a man. God give you Moses and Aaron. Now God's give you me. God give you Jacob. God give you Joseph. God's blessed this land. God's been a good king. And now all of a sudden you're wanting to choose Saul over God. He said there's some things worth considering. So let me ask something this morning. What has God done to you so bad that he's no longer worth crowning? Take me some place in your life where he has erred. And that's the reason that you just ain't going to crown him king, because he's failed you before and you're afraid he'll fail you again. Show me somewhere in your life or your forefather's life where God was unfaithful to do exactly what he said he would do. Show me a time where he has yet to fulfill the promises that he has made us. Can you take me to any sinner that's begged out to be saved and he just told them absolutely not? Can you take me any place where when you really sought the Lord was trying to do right, that he just paid no attention to you and he lost track of you and he forsook you and he neglected you and he wouldn't feed you and clothe you and he wouldn't put a root? Can anybody take me to a day or an hour in the past that the Lord as king has failed you? You know what Samuel's telling the nation of Israel? This same thing. Why do you want Saul when you can have the Savior? I need a little help this morning. I know the crowd's down, but somebody ought to listen. Why would anybody want Saul when you can have the Savior? Why would anybody want to crown the devil when you can have the Savior? Why would you want to serve yourself when you can serve the Savior? There's much to consider here. God took care of their forefathers. He consistently provided them with men to lead them and deliver them. Matter of fact, Samuel talked about Moses and Aaron, but he was one of them too. God used Samuel. And even then he said, let's just pull out my record. Am I the reason that you don't want God no more? Is it something I've done? And look, me and you would think you'd probably find some flaws. Not even in Samuel could they find one thing that was accounted for them to forsake God, their king, and crown Saul their king. Can I say it like this, Brother Jeff? God's way works. God has always been their king, and it has always worked. Yeah. Israel's not always been good children of the king. Can I get a witness? Amen. They're a mess. Go read, we're in Exodus in Sunday school. These people are crazy. Yeah. All right? I mean, these people are so crazy. When Moses is on the law, Moses on the mountain getting the law from God, getting the Ten Commandments, they're naked and drunk and dancing around a cow that they've made out of their own jewelry, thanking it for delivering them from Egypt. Right. These people are nuts. But even then, God has been faithful. Amen. There's been times God didn't even, he wished he didn't make them. He said, hey, I've repented myself that I've even made these lunatics. And Moses said, Lord, don't you forget, we're just dust. Amen. Oh, sorry, that's right. Well, here, how about this, Moses? Leave them back here, me and you'll go. Or you lead them and I'll stay back. Moses said, I don't think so. I got to have my king. I need a witness today. Is anybody here saved and on your way to heaven? Amen. Okay. Is anybody thankful for the faithfulness of your king? There are some things you need to consider before crowning the wrong king. Fourthly, this morning, when looking at this thought, which king will you crown? I want you to see that there is compassion. He is, but our God, our King is very compassionate. Yeah. You know what Saul had an issue with? Killing everybody. He wanted everybody to die. You know what most kings don't have? Most of them don't. They ain't putting up with it. Because they have the power and they have the authority. If you cross them, they say, die. And in this Bible, there was no questions. The king was the ultimate final authority. And he still should be. And here's what happens. If you'll crown him king and he's the final authority, what you'll find in him is compassion. Can I tell you this? The God of this world, the little g God, the devil, the king of this world, he's not very compassionate. He'll flash something out there in front of you. And when you get a hold of it, it'll start to destroy you. And he'll sit back and laugh and love every single minute of it. No compassion. Whichever king you crown, my friend, you better know this area of compassion will come up. And you'll either receive it or it will be rejected to you. Look at verse 14. Samuel's trying to tell him. He says, if you will fear the Lord and serve Him. Is this that hard to do, people? If you will fear the Lord and serve Him. Notice this. Instant. What's the will of God? Instant obedience. Right here it is. And obey His voice. It's that simple. If God spoke to you today to do something, you should do it. Are you with me? He spoke to me today about giving an extra $50. I didn't want to do that. I really did. Because I know where I'm at. I got stuff I got to pay for, so I'm going to have to start figuring something out. But he spoke. You know what I had to do? Yes, Lord. I'll do that. You know why I can do that? I don't have it to spare. You picking up what I'm trying to throw down? But he does. You know why I can do that? Because he's my king. He's my king. Verse 14, if you'll fear the Lord, serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue. You talk about compassion.
Right. We thought Simon, she was tired off the truck. Take his wallet, throw it in the river, hit him where the sun don't shine. Somebody say that. Make that wise by him. And hope to God he lost everything he had. It's okay, y'all. Y'all want me, you want Saul. Okay. I'll make y'all a good deal. I ain't much to keep Saul. And y'all just forget about everything and follow me together. God's offering that, but that's the seal. You know what God's saying? Y'all crown your own king for 30 years. Okay. Well, if you like to change that, I'll let you. I wish God somebody would be happy about that. Because if he wasn't that way, we'd all be in trouble. Because we're all guilty of crowning the wrong king. But God has compassion. Boy, most kings don't have much compassion, but he does.
Yes, sir.
Not only we see, we're looking at this thought, which king will you crown? We see there's compassion, but there's also a curse. Verse 15, now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather live in compassion as I would the curse. Would y'all agree right there? Look at verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you. I would rather my life, my family, our church be in the area of compassion as I would it be under the curse. How would you fall into a curse concerning the king? Look at it closely. If you will not obey the voice. How many of y'all saved? Can I see a show of hands? All right, we're going to give an altar call because there's a few of you need to get born again today. So you're saved. How many of y'all would say the Lord, the Holy Ghost, lives on the inside of you? How many of y'all would agree that that voice speaks to you daily? If he don't speak to you daily, there's something bad wrong. You know, it's real hard. I hate that it's so hard to get the curse off of your life. You want to preach something, I'll let you preach. You've been on my good list since we got here. So they're sitting in the parking lot. I said, well, hey, buddy. He ran over to me, stuck out his hand, shook my hand, and walked up like a full grown man. Hey, man. I love this. That was on one day. Five, man. This is real hard. I'm going to tell y'all how to miss the curse. So hard, man. It's really hard. Hold his voice.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard. Just obey his voice. How many times does God speak to us? How many times does God call that spiritual phone and pull it out and you put it beside you? How many times does God send you an email or a text message and you see it and you go to the option that says you open it and you're like, oh man, how do I want to see it? And you get that letter that says Mark unread. Oh y'all, bye. And all we're trying to do is keep it from being cursed. He's trying to show you compassion. There's compassion, but there's a curse. And here's how you fall into that curse, verse 15. If you will not obey the voice of the Lord. And then secondly, here's the second step. When you don't obey, you... What's it say? You rebel. Verse 15. If you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. You want to know why that the nation of Israel has had the situations and suffered the consequences in times past? Because they didn't listen. I mean, God would spare them over and over and over, and they go right back and do the same thing. And that's why they fell under the curse of God. I need some help this morning.
If you are not going to accept and live in the compassion of the King, then you'll have to accept the curse of the King. Next, I want to see this. When looking at the thought, which king will you crown? Once you see there is conviction and convincing. Verse 16, look. Samuel's trying to win the world again to realize you don't crown the wrong king. Verse 16, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do for you. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call on the Lord. He shall send thunder and rain that you may perceive and that see your wickedness is great which you have done in the sight of the Lord and ask you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord and the Lord sent thunder and rain. He said, hold on a minute. I want you to see something. Saul can't do this. Watch it. Lord, it's a damn wheat harvest. Please, Lord, send thunder and rain.
Amen.
You would think that would have been enough. Yeah. This is the conviction and the process of convincing the nation of Israel to try to crown the right king. How many people walk in and God moves in such a way it can't be denied? He speaks in such a way it can't be. I can tell you times people say, "Well, unless you're in my mouth." I can tell you times they say, "Did my wife call me?" It's a great work. It's amazing how the Lord was specifically say and do things to not only convict you, get this, to convince you.
Amen.
The thing's going on in my family right now. God is trying to convict and convince, and I can't believe that it's not being seen. And it's right there, so plain. So happy. He not only wants you to be convicted, He wants you to be convinced because He wants to be your king. Which king will you crown? Some of y'all have been convicted and convinced, and you're still yet crowning the wrong king. We're almost done. Even despite that, you know what we see when we look at this thought? Which king will you crown? We see there's a second chance. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing that God gives second chance? Look at verse 20. Samuel said to the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." What has God expected from you and me today? That. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Verse 21. Turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver. For they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. Because it hath pleased the Lord to make His people moreover. As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Here's a second chance. You know what Samuel's telling them? Y'all have crowned the wrong king. And because of it, you're going to miss out on that compassion. You're going to live in a curse. But God's going to give you a second chance. Even through convicting and convincing, God's going to give you a second chance. But here's what you got to do. Brother Josh, what do I do? How do I make Him king? How do I crown Him king? You got to take advantage of the second chance and serve Him. Notice what we read. With all your heart. I hope y'all have listened. I have given you the recipe. I have given you the recipe according to the Word of God how to have a happy, successful Christian life. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Lastly, we're done right here. If you won't do it, when we look at this thought, which king will you crown? I want you to know this thing will end. If you do not crown the right king, it will end with a consuming conclusion. Look at verse 25. You got a second chance if you'll fear the Lord and serve Him with all your heart. Crown Him king. You've got a second chance. But, verse 25, if you still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed. Both ye, look here. Does everybody see that?
Man, I wish y'all got it like I got it. I was ready to punch somebody. You'll be concerned. There's a concerning conclusion. But it's not just you. It's you and your kingdom.
Right, man.
I don't want to go down. But I sure don't want to go down with the devil.
Man.
I don't want to lose, but I sure don't want to lose with the devil.
Right.
My king is the king of all kings.
Man.
So let me ask this morning, right now in your life, which king have you crowned? Who are you serving?
It's one or the other. The Bible lets us know very plainly, very clearly, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Who, which king have you crowned? Brother Chris, if you would. Father, we love you. I've done the best I can do this morning. Lord, I hope and pray that the people have heard what you've had to say to us through your word. Now, God, we've got a choice to make this morning. Lord, I sure hope and wish and pray that everybody has crowned you king of their life. But Lord, in reality, I know better. I know better, Lord. Lord, until we do that, until they do that, Lord, they're gonna abide under that curse more than they are that compassion. God, you are going to be compassionate and give them a second chance, and they got to fear you and serve you with all their heart. And Lord, that's what you gave me when I about destroyed my whole life. You showed me compassion and give me a second chance. And that's the only reason I'm here today. So, Lord, for those who are here that are struggling between the two kings, I pray they'd pick you this morning and crown you as the king of their life. Why would we settle for Saul when we can have a Savior? Please, Lord, speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's all come this morning. Let's all come.